I was asked by our pleasure to speak this evening, and I had to think about a little bit what would be appropriate. The truth is, whenever there's a tragedy, as the pasuk says, "Achiru aisi tikhu musar," when we see a tragedy, we have to learn a lesson from it. And the truth is that when the Ribbono Shel Olam sends a message to the world, everyone is required to interpret it for themselves. And we have to dig into our inspiration that lies within ourselves and try to understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to tell us. So what I can do is maybe share a few of my own thoughts, and hopefully it'll be relevant. This past few weeks or so has been unique, as we heard before. It's not so much, Rachmana Litzlan, that it's unheard of that Arabs can come and kill Jews. It's been going on for a long time. It goes on all the time. And you know, throughout history, there were bus bombings once upon a time. We forgot about them. But they used to blow up buses every once in a while. A bus would blow up, Rachmana Litzlan. If you go back, there was Fedayeen. We heard before about the massacre in the Chevron Yeshiva, Rachmana Litzlan. I think what makes this event so unusual is the fact that the way it's happening, one after another, right, one after another, and in such a way that seemingly is like, what do you do, makes us feel very vulnerable. And I think the fact that it's damaging our own internal security, because like, what do you do? Besides abandon Eretz Yisrael, what else can we do to stop this? It's not like a guy going on a bus where you could see when he's coming with a bomb, and you could tell, you could put security people to look around for people like that. It's not like people coming in from across the border, where you could put up a fence, you could put up soldiers, you could put up cameras. This is just people around, just suddenly, without any previous record of anything, coming up and just killing a few people, even if it costs them their own lives. So it leaves us very, very insecure. I think that's what is attacking us, and unfortunately, it could damage our emunah. And especially when you see scenes, which I didn't, but people tell me they saw scenes. I don't know how they managed to look at it. But people lying dead in a Beis Medrash, butchered to pieces. It definitely affects our emunah. So what does that tell us? What is the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to tell us with this message? And like I said, everyone has their own message. I'd like to talk about something. We know, and everyone knows this, there's the very famous Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. It's the Avera with which the Ramban says that we execute a Ben Sarer Umar for violation of it. That is the Avera of Kedoshim Tihiyu. It's a mitzvah asay. Violation of that mitzvah asay in the most extreme form leads to the execution of a ben sarer umayr, a child who's 13 years old. And the Ramban tells us, what is this Kedoshim Tihiyu? The Ramban tells us a principle called Novel Bershus HaTaira. There's such a thing that a person could be living 100% within the boundaries of Halacha. And no one can question that in the slightest iota. Every action that this person takes, he can show you, find me any place where it says I'm not allowed to do this. And yet, the Ramban says, he's Bershus HaTaira, but he's a novel Bershus HaTaira. There's a person that is a lowlife. He's a lowlife, and he keeps all halachas, but he's a lowlife. You walk him, you see him in shul in the back, you say, Oy vey, that guy's such a lowlife. But he hasn't done a single avera in his whole life, because everything's al pi halacha. And wasn't pointing to anybody. And what's the person doing wrong? So the Ramban says, he's extreme in his lust for Olam Hazeh. It's the examples he gives. He gives all sorts of examples. How the person can be go ahead and be someone who stuffs himself with every kind of delicacy, spends his days and nights chasing food, chasing other kinds of desires, living a life of luxury. This is what the Ramban says. And this is novel Bershus HaTaira. He's novel within the boundaries of the Torah. He's 100%. There's no question about it. And yet he's a novel. It's a good question why the Torah left it like that. But the Torah left it like that. That you could be like that. Therefore the Torah said one more mitzvah. Kedoshim tiyu, be holy. This is a mitzvah. I'm sure you've all heard this before. I'm not talking about this tonight. And it's very important to know that I'm not talking about this. I do not want to talk about novel Bershus HaTaira. I'm sure you've heard about this many times before. And that's not my discussion at all. You're right. We live in a world where this is a huge problem, but this is not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something else. It's called novel B'mitzvah HaTaira. It's not Bershus HaTaira in the bounds of Taira, but somebody who could become a lowlife with the Taira. Using the Torah to become a lowlife. And once again, lowlife maybe is an extreme word. But that's more or less what novel means, if not something even worse. So I will stick to the Ramban's word. It's a novel. A person could be a novel using the Torah. I'd just like to start with a question. We say every year on Tisha B'Av, Nachim Hashem Elokeinu Saveh L'Tzion. Hashem comfort the mourners of Tzion. Vesavela Yerushalayim and those who mourn Yerushalayim. And every year you come to here, and I stand there in Moshe Esrei on Tisha B'Av, and I have a hard time reading the next words. What does it mean? Vesayir Avela, and the city that's mourning, Vacharevan, it's destroyed, Vahabezuya, it's shamed, Vashemema, it's desolate. Havela Mibni Banel, it's mourning because no children are there. It's destroyed from all of its wells and its life that exists in this city. This is a dead city. And it's shame from all honor. And it's desolate because no one's living there. And I ask anyone, if you've ever taken a trip from Ben Gurion Airport up the road and you start coming to the city of Yerushalayim, it's Avela, it's Shemema, there's no one there, it's Bezuya, it's the most beautiful city in the world. You look at the city, the buildings, the white Jerusalem stone shining in the sun, and when it becomes night, you see all these lights lighting up all the tops of the mountains. It's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. Is there a city like this? There's no other city as beautiful as that, as exciting as that, the energy in it. A city like Yerushalayim, it's dead. What in the world are we saying every single year? Every single, we get up and we say this once a year. Some might say it more than once a year. And twice a year. How do we say these words? How do we say these words? They don't make any sense. This used to be a good tefillah 100 years ago. But these words are not true today. How do we approach these words? It's a similar thing also. We say by the slichas of Bahab, on the last day of Bahab, we say the famous, and also by Ni'ilah, people say this pizmain, Hashem Hashem, the pizmain of Hashem Hashem. And we talk about Yerushalayim. It says, Esker Elikim V'Amoya. It says, Hashem, I remember, and the pain comes out of me. Pain pours forth from me. I see every city built up. And the city of Hashem, the city of God, is lowered to the depths of the grave. And even so, we still look to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't lose emuna that Ribbono Shel Olam will one day redeem us. But it's not true. You look, it's a beautiful city. Okay, we're looking for a Beis HaMikdash. That's true. There's no Beis HaMikdash. But how can we say these words on a city? There's no children there. There's nothing going on. It's dead. There's nothing. L'chor, it's a pella. The Ramchal and the Maimar HaGu'ula speaks about, what does Golas do to us? When Golas happens, what is Golas? What is Churban? What does Golas mean to us? So the first thing he mentions is that in a world of Golas is Anoichi Haster Aster Panai. We don't see the Hashkach of the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. We don't see where the Ribbono Shel Olam is leading us. That's number one. Number two is, he says, that the forces of evil, the Kaychis Hara, gain strength. The forces of good are weakened. The Ribbono Shel Olam, since his Hashgach is removed, the forces of good are weak. They don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't look like the Ribbono Shel Olam is helping them succeed. The fourth thing he says is that Klal Yisrael suffers terribly. Poverty, gzeiros, massacres, etc., etc. We go through all these terrible sufferings. It's all part of Golas. And the third thing he says, I go back to the third thing. What's the third thing? He says the third is very strange. And I'll read you his words. Shiyotza ha-shechina v'golsa bein sari ha-tuma. Is the Shechina of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the presence of Hashem in this world, goes among these, so to speak, these malachim, these forces of evil in this world. I'm going to skip a little bit over here. But he says an unbelievable thing. V'nimtza lohem goin sivas lechem al kein omru yadenu rama. Is they are able to go ahead, so to speak. She quotes it earlier on a pasuk, "Eis asher sholat ha'adam ba'adam l'ralei." Pasuk in Kehelas is sometimes one person can overcome another person in order to do evil to him, and kaviyachol, the evil of this world can overpower the shechina of this world and take advantage of it. And what does that mean? They say, "Yadenu Rama, we are more powerful." It says the servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we believe that the evil forces in this world are avodim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they're created by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they exist because of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and yet they take control. They're the avodim and take control of their master. And it says Ra'isi avodim al susim. Another pasuk in Koheles. I see slaves, I see the servants riding on the horses. V'sarim holchim ka'avodim al ha'oretz. And the officers are walking on the ground. where the officers of this world, Kaviyachol the Shechina he's talking about, is lowered, and the Avodim are sitting there on their horses. They're in control. They're in power. And in fact, their servant becomes Kaviyachol the Shechina. It's an upside down world. That's Golus. Golus, instead of the Koiches Hara being the Avodim of Hashem, to our eyes, that's what it is, it's not the reality, but to our eyes, and maybe in our behavior, is the Koiches of the Shechina, the power of Hashem, is for the benefit of the Koiches Hara. What does this mean? There's a Gemara in Sachem. The Gemara in Sachem tells us that Yerushalayim, people were oila regal to Yerushalayim. 3 times a year was a mitzvah. Everyone would pick up to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was a very special place. There's a Beis HaMikdash there. There's a Shechina there. We go to be seen to be seen. And we go to there to have this experience of Kedusha, experience of Yiras Shemayim, Kimitzi and Teitzah Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. It was an experience for every Jew to see, to be able to experience that. But at the same time, the Gemara is a Kasha. The Gemara doesn't explain where the Kasha is coming from, but L'chayr, we know there's a principle, Hadras Kodesh. The holiness and the perfection of this world lies in holiness. So the Gemara is a Kasha. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam put Peres Ginoisar? Peres Ginoisar are the most luxurious, most delicious fruits. Right? They beat. The more descriptions of those fruits are wild. How different Amayroim, when they would get a hold of it, they went wild with these delicious fruits. The exaggerations in the Gemara are unreal. They're unreal. I said, the most delicious thing. And the Gemara says, why didn't Ribbono Shel Olam put those Peres Ginoisar in Yerushalayim? And the Gemara says, you know why Ribbono Shel Olam didn't put Peres Ginoisar in Yerushalayim? Because when people will be oila at rego, chas v'sholim, they might say that, you know what? It wasn't bad coming to Yerushalayim. It would have been worthwhile to come just for the Peres Ginoisar. V'nimtza aliyah shaloi l'shma, and it ends up being that you came shaloi l'shma. You came shaloi l'shma. Tomorrow's another kasha. We all know Peres Ginoisar. We don't know where they are anymore. We don't have them anymore. But Chami Tveria, you have the springs of Tveria. We have this unbelievable bathing opportunity, and you could dechveis. I'm sure you know you could have the fanciest hotels with the fanciest spas and everything. Unbelievable what exists. Why isn't Chamei Tveria in Yerushalayim? Hadras Kodesh. Everything, holiness has everything in it. So Yerushalayim should have the epitome part of Eretz Yisrael, the most exalted parts of Eretz Yisrael, even in Gashmias. And once again, the words are the same Teretz. Because people will go to Yerushalayim. And what are they going to say? They're going to say, you know what? It wasn't bad. Just for the Chamei Tveria alone, wouldn't be called Chamei Tveria, but just for the Chamei. The Chamei Yerushalayim, for that alone, it would have been worth to come here. V'nimtza aliyah shaloi l'shma. So, the kasha, first of all, is who cares? So, shaloi l'shma. Many times we do mitzvah shaloi l'shma. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam not want this mitzvah to be shaloi l'shma? What's so terrible? What's all it be? Tar shaloi l'shma, bal l'shma, it's gevaldik. One day you'll do it. You'll do it lishma. And second of all, what kind of lishma is this? Shaloi lishma is this? I'm not saying I came here in order to do that. Just it would have been worthwhile for me to come, even if I just had this. I'm not saying that's why I went to Yerushalayim for it. He didn't even say that. He didn't say, well, the real reason why I'm coming here is to go to the Chamei Tveria. God, it happens to be. That's not what the person said. The person just said, it would have been worthwhile enough for me to experience this trip just for that alone. But of course I came for the Beis HaMikdash. Of course I'm Lishma. What in the world does this mean? I think this Gemara has a very, very deep lesson for everyone. If you look in the dictionary, under the word lifestyle, so the dictionary translates it in two ways. Definition number one, it's a way of living. Definition number two, which depends upon definition number one, is something associated, it's a little slightly different thing, this is, lifestyle is a noun, this is an adjective, but associated with reflecting or promoting an enhanced or more desirable lifestyle. We're Jewish people. I have no question in my mind that everybody in this room, haraya, people giving up their own free time and spending it listening to a set of drushes, are people who are deeply committed that we are Jews. That's who we are. That's how we define ourselves. That's why we're here. There's no question about it. That's our way of living. And there's no question about it. Definition number one, we're Jewish people. The question is definition number two, where are we searching for our enhancements? Where do we look for our enhancements in life? It means we're Jews, but I want to be a better Jew. What does better mean to you? Today, you go ahead, and I mean, I remember being in Yerushalayim, and we were in the city of Yerushalayim. I was learning there for a bunch of years, and okay, I had a certain impression, and I left. And probably 10 years later or so, 12 years later was my first time, I had an opportunity to go back. And I walked down Malchei Yisrael, and I was in shock. I was in shock. It wasn't the same city anymore. The first time around, when I was learning there, you go up and down the streets, packed full of stores. But they were all simple stores. There was a hardware store, a falafel shop, even a pizza shop, which was all machlokes. You want that pizza shop? Now that pizza shop. It was a pizza shop. Posh it a pizza shop. There's pizzuchim. You have all kinds of snacks and nash and all kinds of stuff. This kind of shop, that kind of shop. Maybe a little shoe store or something. Okay. All kinds of stores. And you come back for the first time. I'm walking down. And I couldn't believe it. There was this nice, fancy, like it wasn't the old type of building anymore. It was a store, a jewelry shop. There may be jewelry shops beforehand, but this was a jewelry shop. And what it was projecting was not just the fact that they were selling jewelry, but the fact that they were selling a lifestyle. This is an enhancement. Oh, you look at our store, it's better than all the other stores. This is an enhancement. And we look today, sometimes we go to Yerushalayim and we look at the world, we look at the city, I should say. We look at the city, and Baruch Hashem, you know what? Huge buildings there. But what are they? They're no longer a dira. These are condos. They are the apartments that they have there. 5-bedroom apartments, indoor parking, every kind of luxury imaginable. You can't believe what they have. Once again, it's projecting a lifestyle. So, okay. So good, it's projecting a lifestyle. What's terrible about that? I told you I'm not going to be talking about Novel Birshus HaTorah. Because you know what? Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of rich people, they deserve to have these things. We have good things, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is that what happens is when you associate these kinds of things with Yerushalayim, you start using, you say, you know, why am I getting an apartment in Yerushalayim? Why do I go on a vacation to Yerushalayim? So of course I'm going to see Gedolim, going to be davened by the Kaisel. But in the back of your head, what are you thinking? Ah, it would have been geschmack just for this apartment alone. V'nimtza aliyah shaloy l'shma. It comes out that it was shaloy l'shma. People go to Yerushalayim today. Why did they go there? I've heard this from people. Because there's a store there where you can find over 100 kinds of cheeses. Since when do we become a people of such gastronomic expertise that you need to know 100 different kinds of cheeses? And I'm not talking about novel Birshus HaTorah. Maybe you should have 100 different kinds of cheeses. Gesunde Eid. Maybe you deserve to have that in your life. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's for you. It's not excessive. But the problem is Nimtza Aliyah Shaloy L'shma. Nimtza Aliyah Shaloy L'shma. When you went to Yerushalayim, you didn't do it L'shma. And what's so terrible about that? Okay, so I did Shaloy L'shma. And I was like, well, why is it Shaloy L'shma? I had a lot of Kavana L'shma. Tons of Kavana L'shma. I was sitting there the whole time with my Kaisel, his mom is davening L'shma. But the answer is because when you do that, unfortunately, instead of Yerushalayim being the lifestyle, that becomes your lifestyle. That becomes your lifestyle. The city of Yerushalayim is getting an image where no longer is the lifestyle is people who are dedicated purely to Avodas Hashem, people who are dedicated to Chesed, people who are dedicated to Torah and to Limud HaTorah and excellence in Torah. It gets a different image. And that's what the Torah is warning us. I don't want to put all these fancy things in Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim has to project a different lifestyle. It's a different enhancement to who we are as Jews. And we're destroying that enhancement. And we have that experience here in the United States of America. There's these so-called, we have so-called magazines, called Jewish magazines, Baruch Hashem, a proliferation of them. Unbelievable. Okay? Every day there's another magazine, Nocha magazine, and there's this one and that one. And you open them up, and this is going to be a Jewish Torah magazine. The magazine of Das Torah, or the magazine, whatever they announce on the front cover. And once you turn to the third page, right there, look for the advertisement. What is it? It's a 3-inch steak. And you gotta go to Pomegranate and pick it up right now. Like, this is what you need to do. Look, I don't have a problem. People, gesunt hate, they should be advertising for Pomegranate and they should get 3-inch steaks and enjoy it. I'm not talking about Noble versus Satira. But the idea is we're selling something. We're saying, this is Yiddishkeit. This is Torah. In fact, you'll turn to page 7. There's a Dvar Torah there. And they have people telling me, wow, I get a service for my whole week from reading that Dvar Torah. And that's what they're selling. They're selling that this is unbelievable. But you know what? They're selling with the Torah. They're using the Torah to sell the steak on page 3. And selling the strimal that goes up to who knows where. And it's a thicker strimal, a better strimal. Strimal, sir. Loisorim avisenu. You know, and who knows what. Sorry, Mr. Blush and Sayer. But the bottom line is, and then you go to another page. And then they're selling this grandiose apartment in Yerushalayim. That, you know what, belong to this latest exclusive group of American Olim that are going to have everything you could ever imagine in life. And what this is all being sold as Torah. There's a piece of Torah in there. It's good. This is Das Torah, this is Torah, and you'll find it. And all together with that, you know, because if it wouldn't be there, it just wouldn't have the right thing. You know, this one, I'd feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because why should I bring these things into my home? See, it used to be in the olden days, we'd bring a magazine into our home and they would have 3-inch steaks in there, they'd have this and that and the other thing. And we'd say to our children, you know, that's for Goyim. These kinds of things don't belong. This is, you know, bring the New York Times into your house, that's Goyim. We don't look at those kinds of things. That's treif. It's not. You bring it in now, has a big stamp on it. Das Torah. This is Jewish. This is Frum. This is Orthodox Judaism. And this is what we bring into our homes. And we use the Torah to sell the novel. It's novel b'mitzvahs ha-Torah. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is warning us. You could take Yerushalayim, which is supposed to be an experience that makes us who we are as a people. It gives us Yerushalayim. Gives us Torah. And then we take it and we make the experience into a shaloi lishma experience, the Gemara calls it. But that's your experience. And if you go to Yerushalayim and you experience Peres Ginaiser, and you experience Chaim Teveria, you're going to walk away a novel Ben Mitzvah HaTorah. You used your Aliyah to become a person who's living in luxury. And like I said before, Baruch Hashem, have luxury. We're not talking about that. You have to make your own gedarim, and some people deserve to have all these wonderful things. But that's not our experience that we associate with Kedusha. And once you start associating with Kedusha, it'll destroy who a person is. This is what the Ramchal is telling us. The Ramchal says part of Golus, the part of Golus is that the Koiches Hara, the evil of this world, the novel of this world, jumps onto the horse, and Ribbono Shel Olam is walking on the ground beside it. I'm your slave. I'm being used by you to sell this Koiches Hara, this lifestyle, the enhancement being in the world of Gashmias. The world, that kind of lifestyle, not a Jewish lifestyle. Our enhancement has to be Kedusha. Where's our enhancements in our lifestyle that we should have more Kedusha? We go to Yerushalayim just to have Kedusha, to have an experience of seeing people who don't need all these things. Even if our own lives we have them, Baruch Hashem, and we should be happy with what we have. But you should see what it means to live like a person who doesn't have these kinds of things. Instead, what are we doing? We're tossing them into the gutters, chasing them out of Yerushalayim because they can't afford to live there anymore. And that's the experience that we're looking for. I think the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us this as a little message. These nisyonos that we've been living through. All of a sudden, maybe it's not so bishmak. You know, before we thought going to Yerushalayim for a Yom Tov, it's gevaldik. It's better than a trip to Disney World. You know what I mean? I can go to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim they have a big castle in the middle, but over here I can go to the Kaisel. This is something, you know, you can't make it. It's not, you know, it's a one of a thing in the whole world. And it's unbelievable. I could go see Reb Chaim Kanievsky. If I go to Disney World, I can't see Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Right? But then I live in a world which is twisted, which the enhancement is something else than what it's supposed to be. It's not Kedusha. It's novel. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what? Let's make living in Yerushalayim into a Nisayon. Let's make it that maybe people shouldn't be so comfortable there. And then we'll see who really loves living in Yerushalayim. The people who are living in Yerushalayim because it's an enhancement also. They're being oiled for these other reasons. All of a sudden, well, maybe, you know what? Maybe that's not such a good idea to go there for vacations. You know, sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving a lesson. Maybe it's not such a safe place. Maybe I shouldn't be spending, $3 million on buying an apartment in a place where it takes Mesiras Nefesh to live. Where people have to really, really want to be there. And I think maybe that's the message over here. Ribbono Shel Olam is making us feel uncomfortable to realize, are we truly dedicated to the goals of Kedusha, the goals of Torah, the Torah of Yerushalayim, Tefillah. If those are really our goals, these things won't deter us. We're not going to run away because we're scared of these kinds of things. Loyaleinu, they're terrible, but we have Emuna. We believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We believe in the Hashgach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. People, unfortunately, who it's part of their lifestyle, might be deterred. I think that's the message. We say on Tisha B'Av, Nachem Hashem Alekeinu as Aveli Tzionu as Aveli Yerushalayim as Ira Avela, the city that's mourning, V'achareva that's destroyed, V'abezuyun et shem V'ashemeimon, it's desolate. So sometimes when I look at the city of Yerushalayim, I look at it and I say this is more desolate than it's ever been. After the Churban, it wasn't as desolate, it was empty. But today, it's covered in a veneer of Kashmias, which is destroying, which is antithetical to the Kedusha that resides there. And we distract ourselves from it. And we're looking in a different direction. And that's why we daven nachi. Hashem, please comfort us. Comfort us and send us Yerushalayim. Like we say in the Slichos, we say on the Ilah, as Ir Ho'elikim, it should be the city of God. the city of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not the city of Gashmias. When we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should send us a nechama. And the Mirza Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, with all these terrible, terrible tragedies, and lo aleinu, some of these people, which we might know even some of them, and the terrible fear that so many people are living with in Eretz Yisrael, that literally going on the street, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. It's random terror. The Ribbono Shel Olam should send them a nechama and send us all a chizik, and we should learn that we should elevate the Ribbono Shel Olam and Chas V'Shalom never make our experiences of Kedusha, never to use Torah to go ahead and to elevate Gashmias, never to use Torah and mitzvahs to elevate a lifestyle of novel. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should teach us what's appropriate for us and what's not appropriate for us, that we should not be a novel brishas ha'Torah, but especially to guard the Kedusha in our lives, that it remains separate and totally separate and completely separate from any association with the Kaychas Haraf, this world, the forces of evil of this world. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should send the Nechama to all of Klal Yisrael, and the Nechama to the families that lost all these Kedoshim that were killed in such a terrible way. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should send strength to all of us and strengthen ourselves, especially in our ability to have Emunah and Bitachin and believe completely in the Hashgacha practice of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Before we daven Maariv and say Tillim, we're going to hear for a few minutes from a Talmud of one of the Kedoshim, Rabbi Noach Pellick.
Yeshus, the Tzibur HaKadosh, Talmid Chachamim, Rabbanim, I'm not right to be maspid any of the Kedoshim, and certainly not Mayri V'Rabbi, Ramosha Tursky, Hashem Yikom Doma, Zecher Tzadik B'Kosh Levracha, but after all, I was zoiche to be a Talmud in the yeshiva in which he taught for a number of years, and I was in his shir for quite some time, and a little bit of time, and in the end of the day, I was zoiche to see him day in, day out, daven in the same base medrash and learn in the same base medrash for a while. And so maybe as a Yehuda Vaid Lakra, maybe I could be mosif something that could be a toilis a little bit for myself and for the tzibur a little bit. Chazal tell us, Im doime harav l'malach Hashem tzivokos yivakshu toira mipihu. If a Rav is like a Malach Hashem, then you should chase him. You should seek him out to learn from him. What does it mean to be like a Malach Hashem? What's a Malach? A Malach is a Shliach of Hashem. A Malach is an Eved Hashem, an individual created for the sole purpose of doing what Hashem wants. A spiritual individual that does his job is to do Ratzon Hashem. That's a malach. And Chazal are telling us, if a Rav doimer l'malach Hashem, if a Rav is like a malach Hashem, then you should seek him out to learn from him. I don't know all the Rabbanim in the world. What do I know? But I got to know this Rav a little bit. And if he wasn't doimer l'malach Hashem tzivakos, I don't know who was. Eved Hashem in every sense of the word. Every part of him was just a shlichus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There was no personal agenda. No self. It was all about Ratzon Hashem, like a malach. And that's why he had Talmidim flocking after him. Pashut running after him, chasing him out. Rebbe, can I learn with you? With other people, without other people, be in yeshiva. It was Ein Sof, people chasing him to learn from him. And it's not like he was this, you know, fantastically dynamic speaker, captivating. He was not captivating in his Tzuras HaDibur. He was not. But He was doyme lemalach Hashem tzvakos, kipshutai. And he had people flocking after him, chasing him, running around. Rebbe, can I learn with you? Doyme lemalach Hashem tzvakos, mamish. And in the yeshiva where he taught, he had such a pivotal role with the older Bachrim in the stage that they were moving into, going from new Bachrim to being the older Bachrim who were more of a authoritative role in the yeshiva, in the Bachrim part of the yeshiva, that, I mean, to have a role model like that walking around that you could see, a Malach Hashem, mamish, in front of your face, you could see him every day, and now he's gone, is such a gaping hole in this yeshiva. I can't imagine when the words that we hear so often, mi yitein lanu tmurasoi, those are mamish applicable here because he's irreplaceable. Such a person, a Malach Hashem, mamish, is irreplaceable. And by Rav Scheinberg's Levaya, Zechut Tzadik Bekosh Levracha, a number of years ago, I got to hear Rav Dan Segal, Zol Zayin Gesund, say a hesped at the Levaya. And among all the things he said, he quoted a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, famous pasuk, which Chazal tell us, the pasuk is Doidi Yorad Leganoi Larugas Abaisim Lirois Vaganim Vililkoit Sheshanim. The pasuk means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Umas Olam say, where's Hashem now? Look what we're doing to you. Where's Hashem now? Klal Yisrael answered, Doidi Yorad Leganoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went Leganoi. Says the Medrash, what's Ganoi? Ganoi is Bate Knesiois Bate Midrashois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Batik, this is what the Chazal, the Medrash says the pasuk means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Batik Knesis, Batik Midrashas, Lir Ois Bagan Vililkoit Sheshanim, to feast himself there, and to collect, and to take, to pluck beautiful flowers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Reb Dan Segal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Ganoi, to the Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos, and took away, this is what he was saying about Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Kosh Levracha, he took away a rose from the garden. And he asked, but why this one? Why did he have to take this one from us? And he said, because this was the most beautiful of all the roses. Of course that's the one he wants to take. And I think, from the minute I heard of this horrible tragedy, those words of Rav Dan Segal are just repeating again and again. This is the most beautiful one. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to choose one, this is the most beautiful one he would take. It goes without saying, it's obvious that he chose this one. Such a person who in every part of his personality was single-mindedly dedicated to Avodas Hashem, was soft-spoken, loving, kind person. It was Baki B'Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't say that because I know anything. I say that because I heard that from all my Rebbeim. Baki B'Torah Kula Kula Nigla Nister. He was like Targum Yonason says in this week's Parsha Tva Ulpan, that he was always searching to learn more and looking out to see how he could learn more. And Doidi Yorad Laganoi Lilkoit Shoshanim, to take the most beautiful one. We don't understand why, but as far as the Lashon Chazal, this is the most beautiful one that Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to take for himself. And we can be mechazik ourselves that Malach Hashem Tzvokos, that a malach, like we said, means an individual created for the sake of doing Hashem's will. That's what a malach means. Each one of us can be mechazik ourselves to identify with that type of a personality and try on our own to emulate being a Malach Hashem Tzvokos.
say Tilm before Myers. I know it's late, but Kapitel Yud Gimel.